Good afternoon. It's great to be on this panel and reflect a little bit on the contribution that we made from the Secretary's Advisory Committee to the Healthy People 2020 objectives and the whole framing of the health equity issues. So I have nothing to disclose. I have a lot to disclose, but nothing that I'm interested in. The advisory committee, the Secretary's Advisory Committee, which I think this group has probably heard about, was the first public, fully public advisory committee, and to Healthy People program. And we wanted to raise the bar. We thought, how is Healthy People going to be different because we were involved? And Jonathan Fielding was the chair of the committee, and we had a lot of really enthusiastic people who took something that was supposed to be a couple of meetings over a couple of years and made it 17 or 20 meetings over 4 years. So we were really engaged. On the health disparities issues, we reflected on the 2010 goal, which was to eliminate health disparities among different segments of the population. And that was an advance because before the language had been more like reduce or something that wasn't as committed to the goal. So just to eliminate was really important. The definition of disparities, differences that occur by gender, race, or ethnicity, education, or income, and these other characteristics, but it implied a certain set of groups, but wasn't really explicit. And then the NIH definition of disparities was broader even, just differences in mortality and burden of diseases in different population groups. So we thought, is any difference a disparity? Can we become more explicit about what disparities are? And formed a subcommittee that included four of the committee members and four experts in the field, Kamara Jones, Louisa Borrell, Tom LaViste, and I'm always going to forget one when I think about the other people on the committee, but people who are really students of Paula Braidman, of course, who was very, very influential and authored an article about the subcommittee's work. So we came up with this definition that made explicit what we were talking about, a type of health differences that's closely linked with social or economic disadvantage. And we went on to say that the groups we were talking about had systematically experienced greater social or economic obstacles to health based on their race or ethnic group, religion, socioeconomic status, gender, mental health, cognitive, sensory, or physical disability, sexual orientation and geographic location, or other characteristics historically linked to discrimination or exclusion. So we wanted to make sure that the focus was on the groups that had been disadvantaged, and we made reference to the comment that's often quoted in this area from Whitehead in the UK, that there are differences that are unnecessary, avoidable, and unfair. So clarifying disparities was part of the goal. The other was to put the language of health equity on the record. And you see the scales of justice here to make sure that people understood that we were talking about an equity issue and put that principle there. So we defined health equity after many, many, many drafts and conference calls. You can imagine a group of largely academics trying to come up with a definition. A desirable goal or standard that entails specific efforts to improve the health of those who have experienced social economic disadvantages. It requires a continuous focus on eliminating disparities of all types, an effort to maintain the equity after those disparities are eliminated, and then the idea to raise all boats, to reduce health inequalities and strive for equity by bringing all groups up to the level of the group with the best current health status. And that's important because we've seen some problems like obesity get worse in the general population and catch up with the population that had disparities before. So you can have disparities be reduced, but not because people are getting better. It's just because the reference group becomes worse. So we wanted to make sure to nail that so that nobody would have any confusion about what we were talking about. So you see the goals here and the two that are highlighted, to achieve health equity, eliminate disparities, and improve the health of all groups. And then, partly because of the focus on disparities, and partly because of the focus on improving the health of all groups, we put the language of social determinants into the goals of the goals we recommended that were accepted by the department to create social and physical environments that promote good health for all. And we gave definitions for social environment and physical environment that you'll see here. I won't read them. But what I wanted to say is that we wanted to use this term societal determinants. Now, if people don't understand what you mean by social determinants, they probably have no idea what you mean by societal determinants. But it's more accurate because when people say social, they don't necessarily think of the physical environment or some of the broader factors. So it's really determinants in the society, but we ultimately stuck with the term social determinants because it was easier to communicate and more familiar to people. So I see four components to this initiative. We've created a topic area on social determinants, and what will it take to actually make it real and make it accomplish what we are also hopeful here, you know, with standing room and people sitting on the floor. We're all in here because we would love to see this actually become a reality. So one is getting on and staying on the agenda. Well, we're on the agenda, so we have it in the principles. We're on the agenda, but can we stay on the agenda of the health agenda? It requires getting buy-in, which means being able to communicate this to both the public and policymakers, and you've already heard Dr. Graham speaking about that. We have to be able to talk about it in language people understand. We have to find out what to do, identify and implement the effective interventions, and we have to evaluate and show that it works. And the speakers who follow me will talk about what that looks like at the state and local level. So the conversation has been started on the website. When we launched Healthy People 2020 Objectives, some of this video was there about social determinants. The language is still being worked out, but it's beginning to come together. And I think it's so important to take the time to work out the language because this is a politically sensitive topic, and it's hard to understand by the average person. But this environments where now Dr. Koh has outdone me by adding to this live, learn, work, and play. Pray, as you remember, labor instead of work. But this is the language that's used on the website, the family. It's discussed in very non-threatening terms about what social determinants is all about. The topic area explains, if you look towards the bottom of this statement from the website, we're talking about education, childcare, housing, business, law, media, community planning, transportation and agriculture, as fields that we need to have involved in creating health. They're already involved in creating, to some extent, ill health, and to get them involved in creating the solutions to health. So we need multi-sectoral efforts involving all of those groups, and we use this term health in all policies approach that's caught on. If you Google health and all policies, you'll probably bring up Adelaide in South Australia because a lot of the thinking about what this actually means, how do you put health goals into policies in these sectors. But Adelaide won't be the end. It's also been in other descriptions and documents in the social determinants conferences, and there will be in 2013 a conference in Finland of the Health Promotion Association, International Health Promotion Association, to talk more about how to do it, how to implement health in all policies, because this is really a case of devil in the details. We have to be evidence-based. We have to take what we already know and implement it. We heard this morning in the other session that 10% of people with diabetes have all their risk factors controlled. We know how to control all those risk factors, but we're not using that evidence and taking it out into real practice. And we have to evaluate the things we're doing that would create evidence for strategies that we're trying. Partnerships are important both with private sector, commercial sector, within government, and between voluntary organizations and government and business. So on the website, some of the language that's there now making advances in working across all these different sectors, we would explore how the different programs and policies affect individuals. So we'll show how social determinants work. You know, we have the Moving to Opportunity article that was well publicized in the New England Journal about housing and how moving to another housing, different type of housing, can actually affect your health. Common goals, complementary goals, so blending the agendas, and then maximizing collaboration at federal, state, and local level. All these things sound simple when you write them down, but if you work in the field, you know that people aren't talking to each other. They're not working together, and they're not necessarily seeing or even encouraged to have common goals. One of the outstanding examples is the White House Task Force on Childhood Obesity Prevention. This is the cover of their report, Solving the Problem Within a Generation, and you can see the initial membership announced in the press release of the different cabinet departments represented in this task force to come together to come up with a solution to childhood obesity. I wanted to highlight what I think are some of the challenges. I have the advantages here, which I think we understand with health social determinants. We get at the underlying causes of disease that relate to creating health. It facilitates the focus on optimal health instead of just removing a disease. It highlights the relevant contexts that have led certain populations to have disparities. And it integrates all the things that we know across economics and business and agriculture and nutrition and so forth. So those are the advantages. But the disadvantages we also have to face, and I think that's the job, the assignment. It's cutting the grass, to pick up on what Dr. Graham has said. This is what we have to do. We have to get over these challenges. The health establishment is now geared to health care. Some people, if you say health disparities, they think that you mean only access to health care. So we have to, and we're not pushing health care away by any sense of the word, but we are adding to health care the root causes of actually bringing people into the healthcare system. It depends on our ability to get other sectors to help us do our work. That's a tremendous challenge. It's unpleasant in linking. It links health status and the status of health issues on the policy agenda to unfriendly topics like poverty and poor housing and neighborhood crime and things like that. So we have to make that a positive conversation while automatically, as soon as we talk about that, people don't want to hear. When I taught community nutrition, some of the students said to me, I didn't study nutrition because I wanted to learn about poor people. Because I was teaching about nutrition programs and poverty. So it's unpopular. It's slow, so it's not going to be a quick fix. And it's harder to tell when you're being effective. We're working farther upstream, and we're working with complex models. So this is my last slide. I just wanted to remind you of the rationale from the advisory committee perspective, why we thought it was so important to put the focus of social determinants there, along with the health equity focus, to get to the root causes of disease and not only be patching after things are already too far gone. The importance of achieving health equity, the practical considerations of having an unfit population. If you think about mission readiness and the fact that even the Defense Department had noticed that as historically, the population really wasn't fit enough to pass entrance exams for the military. And then finally, and Dr. Koh mentioned this, it aligns with the other U.S. initiatives on social determinants and equity, and it aligns with the global emphasis on health and all policies and social determinants, and puts the U.S. right in the middle of that game. Thank you.